Track 13, Instaglam. Lily Barker talks to Norfolk Instagram influencer Karina Howie on how she became a social media queen, family life, fashion, and her favourite haunts.
I've followed Karina Howie for a few years on Instagram and admire her genuine, chatty, down-to-earth, yet glamorous approach to vintage shopping, cruelty-free skincare and makeup, all filmed in her cool Norwich house. She is the antithesis of the airbrushed, unrealistic, over-filtered image of so many mainstream and younger influencers who dominate Instagram, and her intention is always to make her audience, mainly women in late 40s to 50s, feel as comfortable and, crucially, as understood as possible. At an age where many women feel their role and self-care in life diminishes, Karina holds a platform on which they can feel heard, redefined, and renewed. Now, if you're slightly in the dark as to what an influencer actually does, let me explain. These people have built a reputation around a certain niche on Instagram and can therefore influence people's buying habits and even lifestyles. Influencers can generate huge income for brands via their digital creations, usually short video blogs, because they have whole audiences trusting their decisions and choices. It's a very powerful role to have. You've got a background in fashion and have been a social media influencer with @isthistooyoungforme for several years and have over 82,000 followers. Now, how did it happen?
Totally by surprise. And organically. It was a really challenging time. I was caring full-time for our complex needs daughter. I was depressed and had suffered a few breakdowns, needed stimulation and craved socialising. I have wonderful friends and family who are always there for me, but as anybody caring and loving a neurodiverse person will know, it can be a complicated and lonely place. I couldn't commit to work, needed a challenge, as well as an escape from home life. I wanted to reconnect with myself, not just a full-time special needs carer at home. I looked at Instagram and thought, I belong there. So I started talking honestly about my love of fashion and skincare and chatting about how putting on your favourite lippy or jeans can give you a little lift. And it just developed from there. I made a few rules. Always be authentic, not perfect or curated, to completely be honest, with no filters and cruelty-free cosmetics only. A few years ago, I connected with this amazing, huge tribe of like-minded souls.
Now, you embrace vintage, cool, chunky jewellery and second-hand finds, stepping outside of the traditional ideas of what goes with what. Now, is this something you've always felt comes naturally to you, or did you get the confidence over many years and grow into your style?
Oh, it's always been there. Anything outrageous or bold, anything on trend, no matter how ridiculous, any trend in the 80s and 90s, I was all over it. I remember asking my mum to make me a Bay City Rollers outfit when I was 5. When I was low, I started turning to clothes that filled my soul. Things like my son's old college blazer, the dress I wore on a wonderful weekend. I started using clothes to tap into a better headspace. Now it's the sustainable element that's made me consider turning to my wardrobe before I look elsewhere.
What's your favourite outfit and why?
A trouser suit. I love the versatility. Perfect for the day or night. Just whip off the jacket to reveal a different vibe. Plus, it feels good to be a little alternative in a sea of dresses.
The idea of connecting clothes with memories and the soul is so helpful for anyone feeling lost in terms of fashion. It really is about comfort and character. Feeling good on the inside reflects on the outside. How do you think women who are feeling less than confident about themselves internally can gain this kind of organic style?
I love this question. For me, it's about using clothes and accessories to tap into positive emotional connections and feel the joy. Fashion has always been a serious space. There are so many rules that can take away the joy of dressing, and there's a risk that clothes end up wearing us instead of the other way around. It's about building a wardrobe that takes us back to that holiday, that wedding, or that afternoon we felt happy. Start buying clothes and accessories whilst in a good mood, because these clothes then come with that association. When you're on a trip with the girls, treat yourself to that dress. If you're at a boutique in Ibiza, buy the bracelet. It's original, and when you wear it, you're taking yourself right back to that happy place. I also tap into arts and popular culture. If there's a favourite painting you love, buy the printed scarf.
Fake it till you make it is something you've said about lacking confidence. So would you say confidence comes from a bit of risk-taking too?
Absolutely. The more down I am, the more flamboyantly I dress and the more makeup I wear. We often assume the outrageous dressers have all the confidence, but sometimes it's just the opposite.
So how do you manage keeping the balance of your personal life and the world of social media? Do you find it overwhelming and intrusive sometimes?
Well, social media is all-consuming, literally 7 days a week. I used to answer every single DM, a direct message, but a few months ago I decided only to dedicate a couple of hours a day and answer as many as I can. I'm gutted I can't respond to everyone now. One of my favourite parts of being on the gram is connecting with the Insta gang. As for family time, I'm good at leaving my phone alone. When I'm having a great time with friends or family, or somewhere fantastic, I don't reach for my phone, so it's not on Instagram. That probably makes me a terrible influencer. I suppose I want to be in the moment. Plus, there's an old school part of me that feels that sharing is showing off.
You advise taking up yoga, slowing down and seeing friends as a way of enriching and centering oneself. For so many women, it's hard to find the time and thinking of their own needs. Do you think there needs to be a compromise elsewhere to get this?
Definitely. It's easy to tell somebody to find time for themselves, but what if there is no time? I've been in that situation where I had zero time for myself. I used to run around the house while trying to eat. There literally was no time for yoga or socialising, TV or a magazine. That was when I found the joy in coffee, closing my eyes and either having the sun, wind or rain on my face, finding the time to breathe for 2 minutes a couple of times a day. It was a lifesaver. I think a quiet cuppa is the simplest form of mindfulness and one that's accessible to us all.
And finally, where are your favourite Norfolk spots for eating and drinking, relaxing and having fun?
I love downstairs at Haggle and on to Blue Joanna for song and laughter with friends. Family time, it's got to be the cinema. And we love Yarmouth Hippodrome. Going to the movies is somewhere where we can all chill out together and where my daughter is relaxed. I love our windy beaches in winter too, especially Horsey Gap to see the seals in the new year. The Suffield Arms and the Gunton Arms, or Norfolk Lavender in summer, or just messing about on the boats in Wroxham.